Liyada.
Parshas Bo 57:74. It says in Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Dalet, Vayomer Moshe, Kol Ma Hashem. So says God, Kachatzos Alayla, around midnight. Ani Yotze B'Shoch Mitzrayim. I am going out throughout all of Mitzrayim. Umeis Kol Bechor Be'eretz Mitzrayim. Every Bechor in Eretz Mitzrayim will die. Mi Bechor Paro Yoshev Al Kiso. From the Bechor of Paro who sits on the throne. Ad Bechor Shifkar Shach Arecham Bechor Bechor Behema. That's that. We all know this famous line. That's the line that Moshe Rabbeinu told Paro. I, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, am going out within all of Mitzrayim. That's where it says over there. Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis, says, V'avarti Be'eretz Mitzrayim. And I will pass through the land of Mitzrayim, B'laila Hazeh, on that night. Mi Kesi Kol Bechor Be'eretz Mitzrayim. I will hit every Bechor in the land of Mitzrayim. May Adam Va'Behema, from man until animal, Bechor Elohim Mitzrayim, Etzash Shvatim and Yashem. And all the gods of Egypt, I will cause judgment. I will judge them, I will destroy them. I am Hashem. And then it says, and then the dam will be an oath, ala bat masharatam sham. Then the dam, the blood, will be a sign on the houses that you are there. Vereisi is the dam, and I will see the blood, ufasachti aleichem, and I will pass over you. Vlo yebacham neget lemashchitz. And then you will not be plagued by the mashchitz, referring to angels of destruction. The hakosi veretzan, when I am hitting, when I am killing throughout all of Mitzrayim. Okay, that's weird. What does that mean? There's not going to be a neget lemashchitz. I thought you just said that he, God, was going throughout all of Mitzrayim. If God is going throughout all of Mitzrayim and he's doing everything himself, then why was there any worry about a mashkas? About a destroying angel that's going through the land trying to kill them that they had to watch out for? What did that mean exactly? And then, when it got to the actual psukim, when it actually happened, right, it says very clearly, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did absolutely everything. He was doing everything himself. Now, the idea is like this. It seems, and the Haggadah says it straight out, I am Hashem. I did it, v'lo ha-malach. I did it, v'lo ha-sarach. I did it, v'lo ha-shaliach. The malach, the sarach, the shaliach, they were not involved. I did everything myself. I was the one involved. I'm the one doing everything, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and that's that. Rashi says it in different places. In one place it says, ani ba'atzmi, I did it myself. And Chav Beis, he said, there's a difference. There's permission for mashchisim to destroy. What in the world are the mashchisim doing over here, and what is this exactly? Why were the Jews so afraid that they couldn't leave their houses until the morning, that they had to put blood around their doorposts? HaKadosh Baruch Hu can tell the difference between a Jew and a Goy. What are they worried about? What's going on in the streets of Mitzrayim? If God is killing everyone, what is this mashkis that the Jews are afraid of? Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says, when God came down to Mitzrayim, he came down with 900 million malachim. I think I got the numbers correct. It's a weird word. Elef Revava. I'm pretty sure Elef Revava is Pesha Elef Revavos. Yeah, so... well, there's four zeros and then three zeros. So you'd assume...
Seven zeros. It's 90 million.
90 million? Okay, so maybe I'm wrong about that. None of them were permitted to do a thing. Now, one of them was able to do a thing. He did everything himself. Many Rishonim say the same. It's not honorable for a king to go through the land without an entourage. He came in with an entourage, Malachim, that were with HaKadosh Baruch Hu the whole time, but they were not in charge of anything. They weren't in charge of doing anything. If someone wasn't supposed to be in the street at the moment, however, obviously, if somebody goes where the king is, when the king is not supposed to, you know, when no one's supposed to be out in the streets, then these mashkis would kill them. Meaning, God was in charge of killing all the Bechors. But if someone was in the street not supposed to be there, these 900 million malachim that are with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that moment, they will kill anyone they see. They're going to kill anyone out there.
I think 990 million of these people, why don't you just get like one?
Well, I think it's just chashivas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all it is. Yonis and Muzio. Tarni Yonis and Muzio, and then from the Daf of Canaan, the Chizkuni, the Panachlaz, the Rabbeinu Ophayim, the Moshe of the Canaan. Yeah.
Putting a limit to God's
chashivas. It's not limited. It's like in our world, so to speak, that when you see it, it has to be that way. No, but there has to be people that saw it. Meaning, there had to be something that was considered like Hashivas as he came down, or as the Shekhinah allowed itself to manifest itself in this world. Yeah.
I think it takes away from the body, because it's first born. So they're not saying exactly what you said.
It seems that there weren't that many people on the street. And that's why it didn't take away from the Makkah. Although that's a good call, there had to be something like that.
Now, are you talking about the extreme or the...
It seems both. There's no difference between the two. That's what it seems like. The Ramban tells us, again, it's like a king with men walking through, you know, walking around while the king is rewarding or punishing his subjects depending on what he sees. Going outside of that time, says the Ramban, is insanity. Who would go outside of that time? The king's guards are ready to kill anyone who looks at the king in the wrong way. So although the Mashkisim aren't doing anything, says the Ramban again, nonetheless, they're there out of the king's honor. So the Mashkisim who were there could not go into a house because of that blood. And that's there. Rav Chaim Kanievsky asks, that's the reason why it says, all of Bnei Yisrael, no dog wagged its tongue or barked in front of Bnei Yisrael. It say, l'chol Bnei Yisrael hayuragua. There was rest, there was everything like that. But the Gemara in Bava Kama, Samachum Abay, says that when the Malach HaMavis comes into a city, dogs bark. That's what happens. This was to show when the dogs weren't barking, was to show that the Malach HaMavis was not involved over here. He wasn't here, and that's the reason why he was there. Since no Malachim were involved directly in killing, they were just indirectly killing people that didn't deserve to be or shouldn't have been in the streets. Therefore, the dogs were not barking. What's up, Kanan?
So it doesn't answer the blood on the door, even if they were not walking to the house. No.
So it still answers, because the blood on the door will keep the Mashkisim out of any houses where they might see something. It could be that they'll see something. Maybe they'll see something that's a little bit different. For example, I don't know, but it could be that the doors were wide open. Because that's what we do nowadays on Pesach, that we open up the doors, Leil Shimurimu. The doors were wide open, and in theory, any of them could walk in. Somebody's standing in the doorway. The blood would protect the person in the doorway, even though he wasn't necessarily in the street. He wasn't exactly in the house. That could be as well, but we'll get to another answer that's going to answer that as well. Why would Hashem have to get directly involved? Why not send Malachim? I mean, up until now, he's been fine with having Malachim do everything that God wants. I mean, obviously, there are things done through his messengers, and that's that. The Nitziv answer is number one. Compares this to a king who had a country rebel against him. When the country rebelled against him, he wants to take revenge against the country to make sure that it never happens again. He therefore doesn't want the peasants killed, because what's that going to do? He wants the officers and the chief guard, the chief people, the people that are in charge of the city, those are the people who are supposed to be killed. He can't send his forces out to go do that work. The forces are not going to know who's the leaders and who's the peasants. The only person who knows that is the king himself, who appointed those people in charge. So therefore, says the Nitziv, the reason why he goes in is that he goes out to the city, and the male of the people who feel guilty, who are the leaders of that city, come out to greet the king, and the king immediately shows the mashkisim, those are the ones you're supposed to kill. So according to Nitziv, it's different. God did not kill anyone at all. God let the Mashkisim kill everyone, but since they didn't know who to kill, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, anyone who comes out to greet me on this night, so to speak, anyone who I turn toward in the Egyptian houses, those are the ones that you're going to kill. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't actually do the killing himself. Now that seems to go against the Pasuk, the way that Nitziv is learning. It says, V.E. Casey. But let's get to that still. The Rabbeinu Bachya says, a little bit added on, that if God would have done the Makkah through the Malachim, then it would have to be done through something called Midas HaDin. If he's going to go through his messengers, then it has to be that he goes through the regular way of doing things, which is Midas HaDin, the proper strict judgment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If they do it through Midas HaDin, the Jews also deserve to be killed. They were also terrible people at the time, which meant that they wouldn't have the schus to be saved. So Anochi says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have to be down there to save the Jews. I'm the one who has to be there, so that there's a little bit of rachamim. Now the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says there are two reasons why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to be directly involved. Number one, he loves Bnei Yisrael so much that he wanted to be directly involved out of their honor. And number two, the only one who can differentiate between a Bechor and who isn't a Bechor is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, which is interesting. Now, Malachim are definitely limited. Malachim cannot tell what a person is thinking. They can never tell what a person is thinking. Nor can Malachim do things. Apparently there's some type of limitation that they have in understanding languages. That when speaking in other languages, other than seemingly than Lashon HaKodesh, there's limitations in what they understand and what they do. And that's why we do some of our tefillos in our Aramaic, in Arami, in order to get around the Malachim, stealing our tefillos from us and bringing it around. So there is something like that. But there's more to it than just this. You all know that I love the Tzadik Menhagim. It's one of my favorite farm in the world. On page 537, he says, you're allowed to say certain names of God. The names of God that we're allowed to say are the ones that represent things that God does in this world. For example, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, which we pronounce as Adonai, means that we consider him my master. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei really is Ha-Yehovah-Viyah, that he was, he is, and he will be, and it stands for everything he does.
But there's a reason we don't pronounce it the way.
That's correct, for sure. We wouldn't do that. That's Zichui Lador Vador. Elohim stands for Hashkacha Pratis. where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of us and taking care of every individual. Tzvakos is the master of legions. That's the exact same thing. Master of legions, meaning taking care of all the big things that happen in the world. Shaddai is the answer of where he's limited, so to speak. There's Rachamim, there's Shalom. All these things represent what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And of course, we all know Tzvi, right? It's one of the greatest shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu out there. Check out the Baal HaTurim in Parshat Baal HaTurim. Shem number 52 is Tzvi. Just saying, if you want to name your kid that way, it doesn't have to be after me. It could be after God. It's good. Anyway, that's that. But the Tamim Menachem says, right, that Tamim Menachem says, there are other names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you cannot pronounce and that we have no idea what to do with. Some of them we've said before, but we don't really know how to pronounce them at all. They're just combinations of letters. We don't know what they mean, B'chlal. It's not like Yud Kev Okay. We just have no clue what they are, like Tav Kof Hey, or Yud Lamed Yud, and all these different shemos, like in Anna Bakoach, right? What you say in Friday night, the Kabbalah Shabbos, those little letters on the side in the Arsh Kol Siddur, Aleph Beis Gimel, Yud Tav Tzadi, Kuf Reish Ayin, Sin Tes Nun, all of those, that's the 42-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not just Tam, that's a real name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu going all the way through. We don't even know how to pronounce this. We're not allowed to pronounce this. There are many malachim that are also on that level. Meaning, they're so far out there that we have no idea what they do in this world. We have no idea what to say to them. And that when we call their name, they automatically feel like they have to come down to us and be together with us and do something which caused them to go from an upper realm, which is very pure, into a tummy world, which destroys them. It literally takes down the malachim, and the malachim are destroyed from their descent into our world. There are malachim that are fine with descending into our world. Michael, Raphael, Gabriel, Uriel. And therefore, you can say those names. You can even name kids after them. There's no problem with that whatsoever. But there are other malachim, Sandal, I'm not saying the full name, Mitat, still not saying the full name, Akasri, all these types of malachim that you cannot say their full name because bringing them down causes terrible things to happen. There are even demons that are the same way, that you can't say certain names, like Lily with the suff at the end. You shouldn't say the full name because their power is to come down to this world and cause more tuma, or, that's by malachim ashkis, by malachim, that they lower their kedusha by coming to this world. They get upset by coming down here. Says the Talmud Menachem, that's what happens. So the Zohar says an unbelievable thing. Zohar is in Parshas Vayera. It's not here. Parshas Vayera in Bereishis, he says the following. It seems like it's a great honor that God went throughout all of Mitzrayim to destroy the Egyptians. God went himself. What an unbelievable honor that he went through the land. You'd think that such a Tamei nation that's filled with Arias, who were well known for Mishkav Zachar and all the other terrible things that they did, you'd think that such a land wouldn't deserve a Dabar Kadosh like a Kadosh Baruch Hu going through the land, destroying all the people. The Pshat is something unbelievable over here. Says the Zohar, I can't let Malachim go into Mitzrayim. Because Malachim, in a physical form, when they're given a levush, something to appear in physical form in front of human beings, has an ability to mess up. The example he gives is all the way back by the ladder, right? By the ladder of Yaakovina. We all know that on the ladder there were malachim going up and there were malachim going down. The Zohar says the malachim going up were two malachim, Michael and Gabriel. Now, some say it was Raphael, but Michael and Gabriel were the two malachim who went to Sodom. Why did they go to Sodom? They went, Gabriel too, destroy it, and Michal or Raphael came to save Lot. They said the words when they were ready to leave. They said, "Mashchisim anachnu esair." We are going to destroy the city. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "You're going to destroy the city? Who gave you permission to destroy the city? I'm going to destroy the city," says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Malachim were punished for saying that line, and they had to stay down on earth for over 170 years. They were not allowed back up in Shemayim because they said those words, "Mashchisim anachnu." How do Malachim mess up? How can a malach possibly mess up? Says the Zohar, malachim have the ability to somehow have some form of bechira while they're in a physical form in this world. These malachim had bechira; they chose their wording in the wrong way and thus were punished. And that was in Parshas Vayera, all the way until Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakovinu left, and they were the ones who went up the ladder when Yaakovinu was about to go outside Mitzrayim. Yes.
Some of them say similarities between the days.
In what?
I mean, baby people come down.
Similarly, in a different type of vein almost, but he can always compare. There's no question about that. Says the Zohar, based on that, he says over here that it's the exact same thing throughout Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't allow Malachim to go through Mitzrayim to do his bidding. Because had they gone down to do his bidding, they would have been affected by the Tumah and they possibly could have made a mistake. So he wouldn't allow them to go through. Instead, he went through himself. The Yalkut Reuveni says it, doesn't quote the Zohar, he quotes another sefer of, you know, one of these Mekubalim type of Sfarim and things like that. There's a piece by Rav Wolfson on this, and Parshas Vayetze, that goes through all together. But this is the idea. Everybody knows about the Nephilim, right? The fallen angels, so to speak, Shemchazai and Azoel, who came down in the beginning of Bereshit and started sitting with the Bnei Adam. They were the Bnei Elohim who came down to earth. This is the concept, that somehow Malachim have that ability, and thus they couldn't go through Mitzrayim, they weren't allowed. Had they gone down, something terrible would have happened. That's a crazy pshat. But there is one other pshat over here. Yeah.
The Midrash says that when he was on the base, the Midrash was destroyed. The Gabriel refused to do it, so he got punished.
Yeah, that's a Gemara on Shabbos.
He wasn't a physical.
How could he do it? How could he do it at that time? How could he make a decision not to do what a Kodesh Baruch wants to do, or to go around? The answer is that what he did was when he was in a physical form. He did something. I can't remember it offhand because you're asking a good question. You're asking off in the middle of nowhere. He came down and he did something that he shouldn't have done. He put snow on it in order to... Oh, that's what he did. He put snow on the fires so that the fires that burned Yerushalayim wouldn't be as hot and it wouldn't burn as much. He's able to save parts of Yerushalayim. And therefore, Gabriel was punished because when he did that, the physical form, so to speak, he was able to cool down a little bit what happened. Thus, Gabriel was punished. Something happened over there. The Torah Shlema brings down another reason he couldn't use Malachim. Another reason why Malachim could not be used, it had to be a Kodesh Baruch himself. So up until now, we said four reasons why God wanted to do it himself. Now we're giving two reasons why God couldn't let anything else do it. The Malachim would have been affected. And now here's a great one. The Mitzrayim had powers. We all know they were Mechashim. Especially guys like Bilam, Yonus, Yambrus. They were tremendous magicians there in Mitzrayim. They knew how to be Mashbia, the Malachim, to get out of their faces. When there were demons or Malachim Mashkas or any type of angel that was near them, they knew the words. They knew the process to get rid of them. Had Malachim Mashkas, destroying angels, come down to Mitzrayim, had they come down to Mitzrayim in order to kill the Bechoros, they had the ability to say certain Shemos to destroy those Malachim. So Kadosh Baruch had a choice. He could send down the Malachim and make it go through, even though, you know, destroy their kishuf, so to speak, or he could go down himself and show how powerful he is. And says the Torah Shlema, he chose to be involved directly rather than have the Malachim Mashkes possibly pushed away through the Hashbos of whatever they were doing in their kishuf. Instead, he came down directly so that no one could get rid of them whatsoever. Now, we have a crazy little thing to talk about now. The Or HaChaim goes on to explain what those Malachim were doing. The Malachim that were there, the 900 million Malachim that were there, or 90 million Malachim that were there with the Yonas and Menuziel, right? Those Malachim that were there and stuff like that. We have to understand something, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, and it's unbelievable. Since Hashem doesn't do evil, evil does not stem from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but rather from the fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu pulls himself back and allows evil to happen. I know that's a crazy concept, and I know that it's much deeper than what I'm saying right now. But the concept of evil in this world is not that God does evil. It's that a Kadosh Baruch Hu allows evil to exist. Okay? And I know that sounds contradictory, and I can't explain it all right now. I don't even know if I can tell you a full explanation. The Baal HaTanya spends four chapters in the Tanya on this, so I can't tell you if I can get a full explanation of what it means. But the concept is, Hashem doesn't do it. It's impossible for him to be involved in a death that loses Olam Haba for another person. In other words, let me give the example. Example is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu... Oh, we were just talking about Tanya. Unbelievable. You were just unbelievable.
Not about me. I was like, oh.
No, not about you. A Kadosh Baruch Hu obviously has everything that you could... I mean, has anything that happens in this world goes through him. And we all know that, and that's 100% true. When Hashem is involved in a death, does anybody know what that's called?
Nishika.
Which means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, kisses the person who's dying and brings them up to the highest possible level in Olam Haba. For a Kadosh Baruch Hu to be involved in a death in which the person is then going to Gehenna or not getting Olam Haba, it's impossible. There's no way. He can't destroy or knock a person down. There would have to be Rachamim involved. So Hashem getting involved in this wouldn't be the right thing, since the Egyptians deserve to get some type of punishment, not only in this world, but in the next world as well. So what did he do? So he went around with all of his servants, and he pointed at them, and sold the Mitzrayim, these are the Mitzrayim that should die, and the Malachim did it instead. And we said something like that before, but now it's a little bit more potent. If you look throughout the entire Parsha, it never says that God killed the Egyptians. It says, Vanes, and they died. They died as a result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu going through the land, but not as a result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing something himself. Even the word Behi Kesi, and I hit, is still a lashon that can be translated, says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, as I allowed them to be hit. But even then, they didn't die necessarily from that hit. So what does that mean? Later on. Let's go on a little bit in order to understand this. This concept of what happens, you guys have maybe read it, you've seen a Gemara before, and it says that the tzaddik Yahiv Bey Eine, he put his eyes upon a person, right? And what happened to the person? The kotle, noch nafshe, the person died. Okay? Or it says, nasagal shalatzamos, the person became a pile of bones. How is that possible? How did these types of things happen? How could that be? Here's the pshat. A tzaddik can't do evil things. A tzaddik has no ability to look at a person and kill a person. He can't do something evil. He's filled with kedusha. He's filled with tov. There's nothing bad that can happen. I'm sorry? Exactly. When Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Egyptian, there's no way for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, for Moshe Rabbeinu to do this in that type of way. He can't do it. Hold on. The concept is that when the tzaddik looks at the person who deserves to die, he looks at the person and sees the kedusha and the tov that's within him, because everybody has kedusha and everybody has tov, or else they would die. He's able somehow to suck out, to pull out the good life force that's within the person, the neshama that person has, the tov that's within that person, says the Orach Chaim, and that's automatically like a magnet. The kedusha goes to him, which leaves the person as just a pile of bones without anything good left. The person automatically dies. The tzaddik doesn't kill him. The tzaddik causes the tov to go away, which allows the person to die. And that's what happened here in Mitzrayim. Just the Kadosh Baruch Hu going through Mitzrayim was almost like a magnet. And the good that was in every Egyptian that was left there, the good was drawn toward that massive magnet, to which when the good went toward that Kadosh Baruch Hu, they were left with just a pile of bones. And as a Kadosh Baruch Hu went through, grabbing the tov, so to speak, the malachim were there, allowing the person to die. So that's what ended up happening. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was directly involved, but the death was a result, as opposed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually taking a sword, so to speak, and killing that person. I know that's difficult. I don't fully understand that Orach Chaim HaKadosh, but it's a crazy concept. Yeah, what are you saying?
Isn't that basically a semantic?
You are correct.
Life force out of the person, so then the person dies for the time.
Agreed. I can't tell you what the difference is.
Even the body, everything that exists is in some way a creation of Hashem and has some sort of positivity to it because the Shorash is good. So,
but in this world, you don't see it. Again, we're going with you. I don't know. I can't answer this question.
Who says that killing is wrong or bad? Depending on the situation, right? A road after you have a mitzvah to kill.
In this case, if you were going to Gehenna, it was bad.
No, see, that's that. Moshe Rabbeinu, why can't he just kill the person? Why can't a tzaddik kill a person if it's for a mitzvah?
Who says this is a mitzvah?
No, the Moshe killed somebody who was sitting at some
hitting a Jew.
Right,
the road it is, if you can stop him in any other way, knock off his arms, cut off his arms, cut off his legs.
Maybe.
He also, remember, used a shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to do so. This is a different concept than what we're used to, of a tzaddik going out and killing somebody. I don't know. I can't. I'll tell you honestly, I don't want to answer questions on this because it could take us a real long time to be able to figure out. There's a lot. Well, Pinchas did something physical. That's without a question.
He did a mitzvah. It was with physical.
That's that. Maybe that's the reason why they say that Zimri has some type of chelik in Olam Haba. Regardless, there's one more part to this that we have to understand in order for it to go through. If you look carefully at these psukim, I already told you, you're going to find something strange. The strange part is that it never says that God directly killed them. It says he hit them. He hit them. And that's that. And you have to understand something. There's no way that the Egyptians died immediately at Chatzos. No way.
Why?
One person was running through Mitzrayim, afraid that he was going to die, asking Moshe and Aaron to daven for him. And it was Paro. If everyone died at immediately Chatzos, right at that moment, then what was Paro worried about?
How do you know? I mean, he knew that in his house, everything, people died.
Moshe told them. right, that at midnight they were going to be hit.
Well,
our window? That's a little bit much. That's not Katzos anymore.
No,
they still need time much better than we did. But they still have. It's clear. Paro is running through Mitzrayim thinking he's going to die. But he wasn't. If he wasn't hit, if nothing happened to him, what was wrong? Yeah, Hanani.
The guy was a lunatic.
Who, Paro?
Yeah, the whole 10 miles process, he was kept going back and forth. He didn't believe it was fucking hurt.
I agree with that. Nonetheless, there's got to be something that we're getting from this. This is from the Chizkuni, Rabbeinu Ephraim, and the Panach Raza. They all say the exact same thing. Somebody, the Torah Shlema, quoted a Medrash, but I've never heard of the Medrash before. They say the following. They were hit at that moment. They were hit right at Chatzos. Every Bechor and Mitzrayim was hit immediately at that moment by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then from that point on, Nafsham Nifarchasas, which meant their souls were shaking until they died. And they died one by one up until morning. Every single Bechor was hit and they had Yisurin and they had something wrong with them. Something was going on up until morning. Even Paro. Paro was also hit. But people were dying one by one as they went through, and this is what happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the original hit. So to speak, he punched every Mitzri right at Chatzos. Right at that moment, at Chatzos Delilah, every single Mitzri was punched. And then from that moment on, every single Egyptian started to die. And Paro realizes, soon enough it's going to be me. He starts running through Mitzrayim, looking for Paro and Aaron, for Moshe and Aaron, saying, save me! Before I die, I want to be saved! Do something! Let me know what I can do! What am I supposed to happen over here? He's begging Moshe and Aaron to be able to go. And that's it. He got it. He met Moshe and Aaron, sent for them to daven for him. Moshe and Aaron did daven for him, and the only Bechor to not die was Paro. Every other Bechor died until the morning. They were the only ones not like that.
What was the reason for the suffering?
For the what?
The suffering of the Bechor.
Even more so. An even bigger punishment. It wouldn't just be an immediate death, which would be something, so to speak, easy for them. It was going to be difficult for them. They were going to suffer until they died.
That means if they were getting suffering here, that means that there's no hapa for them later on.
Throughout all this, you have to have that question about Mitzrayim. If they were given all their suffering in this world through all the makos, why didn't they get a chelek on Olam? They didn't. The question is why.
Why did Mitzrayim didn't get Olam? It's not their Olam list.
I mean, that's because they're not Jewish.
No.
The people that were individuals were listed. But generations are not there.
Who said they weren't individuals? Then Mitzrayim weren't so bad or whatever.
You're right. Maybe they were individuals. Those people would have died early. And possibly would have been around. Nonetheless, we don't see anywhere that Mitzrayim gets a chelukah. I shouldn't say anywhere. There might be a measure somewhere that I've never seen, but it doesn't say anywhere that Mitzrayim gets a chelukah. It's more from the opposite. Wouldn't you assume?
Each individual.
Yeah, but we assume that. Come on, you really think that Mitzrayim is getting a chelukah while Dora Midport doesn't? You really think Mitzrayim is getting it while other people? Come on, that doesn't make any sense.
Not getting
Gemara Sanhedrin. So either way, regardless, the Magen Avraham in Siman Tuf Ayin Gimel, which is all about Pesach, is an unbelievable thing. There's a shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Yuhach. Yud Vav Hei Chaf. We talked about this before. Yachav Rab Malach HaKarabim. Okay, the Rosh HaTevis. Yuhach. He says that this shame is the name of a sword that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that he used at Makas Becholos. Now we say it every Haggadah. Everybody, you look at the Haggadah and you all of a sudden in the middle of nowhere you see Zuhach Erev. This is the sword. And you look at it, you're just like, what sword? What sword are we talking about? There's no sword in Mitzrayim. The answer is, there was a sword. The sword that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to kill the Mitzrayim in Mitzrayim, it's a shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, known as Yuach, says the Magen Avraham, this is the Halacha Sefer. It says, because of that name, that's why we dip 16 times from our cup of wine at the Pesach Seder. Why? Because Yud Vav, Gematria of 16, Ha. That's where we get it from. It's a Magen Avraham. It's not just some crazy safer in the middle of nowhere. The Magen Avraham brings it down la'alacha. That's why we dip 16 times. Titzachat Ashbiachad, Dom Ve'esh V'sim Rosashim, and the 10 Makos. We do it because of this.
What's
16? 16, Yud Vav, Hach. Yud Vav is 16. Hach is we subtract, so we take away, and that's what we do. This is unbelievable. This sword, so to speak, the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was an extension of himself. And therefore, there were no other malachim involved. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it all himself. And Shilas V'tshuvas Yoredeh Shin Mem Vav Sif Yud Beis says there's no way that Hashem actually killed them. There's no way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually killed them. Rather, at Chatzos, he destroyed the Mazel of Tleh. He weakened the power of the Bechoros. That's what Yuhach did. He destroyed the mazel of the Bechoros, and this allowed them to be dying until the morning, and the Mashchisim did the job of killing them all morning long. It's an unbelievable pshat, an altogether idea that's completely different. We think, and the way that, it might not be wrong, because according to the other pshatim, it's right. The river of, what's it called? The Prince of Egypt, and the Ten Commandments, although the Ten Commandments is not a great call, because they have that green gas going throughout all of Mitzrayim. But we have that picture of just like, as soon as the green gas hit, then they died, and the screaming was the family members who just saw that their Bechor died, right? It's not true. It's the exact opposite with the Chassam Sofer. The idea of what's going on is that at midnight they were all hit, and the Bechors were screaming. The Bechors were screaming in pain until they died, all the way up until the morning. It's a completely opposite way of looking at the entire Parsha. Completely opposite way. And that's the idea of Yuhach. That, by the way, could answer the differentiation between the Malach and the Mashkis, right? The Mashkis and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the Mashkis was there all night long. The Mashkis was killing the Egyptians. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was only there to Hika Kobachor, Hikasi Kobachor. He was only there to hit them. But the actual death happened by the Mashkis. So there was a Mashkis throughout Mitzrayim that they had to be afraid of. Now, as for the Stira, it's now 44. I'll tell you right now that I have 12 answers between the difference of a Kaddish Baruch Hu versus Damascus. I'm going to run through them literally without really stopping. According to one pshat, the difference is the Bechor is born from illicit relationships. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to kill. The regular Bechors were killed by Malachim. The ones of illicit relationships, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to point out. Or number two, this is from the Moshe of Zakenim, right? The Hashem wouldn't allow the Mashkisim to go into houses of Egyptians where Jews were there. Because if Jews were there, the Mashkis might kill the Jews as well. In those houses where there were Jews there with the Egyptians, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went himself. The Kli Yakar says HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed the Malach. Again, like we said before, Rahav or Mitzrayim or Duma, whatever his name was, which the Malachim could not do. The Mashchisim killed all the firstborn, but he was the one who killed the Malach. The Gros says HaKadosh Baruch Hu went around there, but the Mashkis was there for the typical deaths that were going to happen that night anyway. There were other deaths that were going to happen, nothing to do with Makas Bechoros. So the Mashkis was there, as he always is, the Malach HaMavis, in order to kill the people that he was supposed to kill. Rabbi Kiva Eger says the ones who were born from mothers, the Malachim killed. The ones who were born, the firstborns of their fathers, the firstborn of the father, even though it wasn't the firstborn of the mother, those HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed. The Ben Yishchai and the Mi'am Lo'ez said that Hashem went into the Jewish houses to kill Egyptians that were Bechors, while the ones that were just found Egyptians, those the Malachim were able to kill. Tiferes Yonasan is a rye for that as well. The Maral Diskin says Hashem took care of the actual firstborn, but the Malach was there to kill pregnant women that had babies inside them that were Bechors. And the Malachim took care of that. Those are some good answers over there. Shibali Aleket says that the Makkah itself was called Mashchis. There were no Mashchis in Tzom Mitzrayim. There were no Malachim. It was just called Mashchis because of what it did. Rabbeinu Avadim Mibartinurim says that the Mashchis was Moshe Rabbeinu. And it refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the Shliach. That Moshe Rabbeinu would not be in charge. There was no staff hitting down or Moshe Rabbeinu doing anything to kill. Hashem was going to do it himself, and that's that. But there were no Malachim involved either, according to Rabbeinu Vadim Yivar Tenura. Now, Maharshak in Yiriyah Shlomo says the Mashkis is the Satan who can kill at any time, but Hashem promised that he won't hurt you on this night. And finally, we'll end with this one. The Panach Raza says that Hashem killed, but the Mashkisim were given permission to punch the Egyptians, to hurt them. They weren't allowed to kill, but they were allowed to hurt random Egyptians. While the Jews were promised that if they stayed inside, not only would they not die, but they also wouldn't be hurt by the Mashchisim we're going throughout Mitzrayim. There would be no mazik and no damages that would happen to any of them. So let's go through very quickly, what do we talk about today? What do we have all together? Number one, we went through the Stira. Was there a Kaddish Baruch? Was there a Mashkis? What do we do with this? We said that according to Yonis Ben Uziel, 900 million Malachim. We brought down Ramban. We brought down the Nitziv, the Rabbeinu Bachi, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Why a Kaddish Baruch had to do it himself? We mentioned the Zohar and the Taimim in Hagin. Why a Kaddish Baruch couldn't allow Malachim to come down the Mitzrayim? We said the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, which was crazy, that said that a Kaddish Baruch in order to kill, takes away the Kedusha and Memela, the person dies. We mentioned the Chassam Sofer, the Chizkuni, the Panach Raza, the Rabbeinu Ephraim, mentioning the fact that the way that they died was they were hit and then they slowly but surely died until morning. The sword that hit them was the name Yuhach, Yud Vav Heichav, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we used to dip on Pesach night. And it went through a bunch of other answers as to the difference between what the Mashkis is and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. We're going to stop with that, guys. Have a great Shabbat.